Luke's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. As you're turning there, in our houses, if I counted correctly, there are 7-8 tables. The title of the message tonight is A Table Talks. And that's about the average of tables that sit within a house, I've been told. I don't know. So you can go ahead and count yours if you'd like, when you mind. From the title of the message tonight, you may be asking already, which one talks? Or in careful language, as some professionals which say, which one reasonably talks or reportedly talks? The fact is, they all talk. No, not in spoken language or spoken words or in audible voices, but in an unusual language, and that is the language of its purpose, the purpose for it. I know I forgot to turn it on. Now then. So tonight, before us, we have a table. The fact is, all of them talk. By now, you are thoroughly confused by all this, so let me back up and kind of start over again and kind of explain what I'm saying. In the three entrances to our house, when you come in the front door, as you walk in the front door, there is a table to your left, and then a little farther up, there's another table to the right. And I call those the no-no table. The reason they're no-no tables is because not long ago, Yvonne and Lisa went and bought those tables. And no, you don't put anything on them. You do not set your glass on them. You do not lean up against them. So really, they're no-no-no tables. But then if you look a little farther between the two recliners, there's another table that has a telephone on it and a bunch of junk on top. Envelopes that's been opened and other things that's there, and you might find the glass sitting on it every now and then. Has a shelf under the bottom that's got the telephone books and some commentaries and all kind of other things. It also has a drawer in that table, and that thing is stuffed full of junk junk. And sometimes you can't close the door because it's protruding out of it. So there's another table. What does it say? But then as you move on into the dining area, there's an oval table there. And that table says something, because if it's mealtime, it says, come on and enjoy yourself. Come on and enjoy the food, the fellowship, the drink, the tea, the iced tea and the cold lemonade or the coffee, whatever it may be, at mealtime. But then sometimes the family gathers around that table and we play games. I mean, we have nephews and nieces and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and we sometimes play games there, especially during the holidays, anything from Monopoly right on to spoons. I don't have ever played spoons, but anyhow, that table says something. It's a table that says, come on, just put your elbows on, enjoy yourself. Then over in the corner of the dining room, there's another table. And it's a table that says, just pile anything on me you want to, because I've already got a bunch of stuff on. Put your bananas on, put your apples on, put your oranges on it. Got a shelf under the bottom. Put some other stuff under there if you like. Tables talk. Maybe not in a language that we can hear, but they do say something. I'll not go into any further detail of those nightstand and other tables, but you know what I'm trying to say. If you have what we call a fancy dining area, or maybe one that we think about as separate to itself, you might have a table there that says, no, no, don't put anything on me. You don't eat here. Don't let them kids anywhere around me, because I am the genuine article. I'm made of the finest wood. So do not bother me. But we have a table before us tonight. And this table tonight says something to us, because it's a table that has significance. I said all that to say this. Before us tonight is a special table. When I say a special table, it's a table of a different kind. It is commonly called the Lord's table. And that table's like all other tables. It does say something. So now to some of you, it may be saying, well, seems like we just had the Lord's Supper a couple of weeks ago. To another, it may say, well, the service is going to be longer tonight. And others might say, well, oh, well, let's just get on with the program so we can get through with all of it. Or you know what? It might not even say anything. Might not say anything. To those, it may have said nothing. Then even the silence communicates a message of all the things this table could be saying to you. None could be more tragic tonight than you to be here and this table says absolutely nothing to you. But as I thought about the table before us, the Lord's table, it should say something to us. It must say something to us if it has any significance. And later on, as we join together in what we call the communion or the Lord's Supper, as we come together, there are some things that I think, first of all, we need to look at because it says something to us. I hear this table saying, "You are deeply loved." You are deeply loved. Why do I say that? Jesus tried to express to even Judas at that table that night. And as we look at that, we'll see. So would you stand before the reading of the scripture and remain standing for prayer? In Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter, verses 21 through 30. Look at it with me. "But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it is determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." Look what else it says. "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye are not so, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we bow before you to give you thanks for this day, for the privilege it's ours as we come tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord, because we sense a need within our own lives to communicate with you and commune with you. We stand in need, O God, of your very power and presence within our lives. And we come before you tonight asking that you would just demonstrate to us tonight the very personage of who you are. And Lord, may we once again recognize and understand all that you went through and what you made possible for us as you willingly surrendered and gave your life as a ransom for our sin. Father, tonight we pray that the table will speak and say something to us, that we can glean tonight the message you have for us. Father, I just pray tonight that you will be with those that's on our prayer list, those that were mentioned tonight in the prayer room. Each one of those, oh God, we pray that you'll minister to them. And Lord, for IB and the family there, and those who will be ministering to him in the morning, we pray that you'll just guide and direct in everything. And Lord, that your will would be accomplished, your perfect redemptive will would be accomplished. And Lord, we pray that you'll just help us even now to trust you and to rejoice. We've committed it all to you, and we look to you with great anticipation of what you're going to do. Father, tonight we would pray that you'd have your will accomplished in each of our hearts and lives, for we ask it in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his glory alone. Amen. What does the table say to you tonight? It says that you are deeply loved. That night, as we read, Jesus tried to express to Judas his love for him as he gave him the sop. That sop was a declaration of his affection towards Judas, even in this time when he had already said that he would deny him, betray him. And so we see that Jesus, in that gesture of friendship, gave him a sop, saying, "Judas, you are deeply loved." Judas betrayed him, and after the meal, we're told that Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. Yes, and he did deny him. And all this we see that it did not stop the love that God had for them, the love that Jesus demonstrated. It says, yes, the table of the Lord is possibly tonight saying to us that you are deeply loved. You are deeply loved. Even the legs of the table might be as well made from the cross where Jesus hung as they hold up the table before us, because they say to us that we are deeply loved. But the second thing we see tonight is that I hear the table saying, you are forgiven. What a blessing to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are forgiven. Not only are we deeply loved, but we are forgiven. Why? Because of the sacrifice Jesus made. If you go back and study what transpired and took place, Jesus commemorated and fulfilled what we know as the Passover meal, and then he observed with his disciples the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And here he is saying to them that you will be forgiven. Those of you responding to Jesus early in your life was more responsive to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But there are many of us, later on in life, we responded because we recognized what Paul said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we come to recognize and understand when we respond to Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Thanks God for that. Amen. Bill Cosby, in a story about his childhood, tells of a near encounter with death. And as he saw his life pass before his eyes, he was very much disappointed because, as he said in his own words, at that age there wasn't much to see. What about your life tonight? If your life flashed before you tonight, how much is it there to see? How about you tonight? Is there much to see that is important tonight? You know, after 44 years in the ministry, being saved since I was saved, if there was a video review of my life, it would reveal many, many mistakes. It would reveal many sins, some even deliberately committed, some by honest error and in judgment many times, and as I made the wrong judgment or made the wrong decision. And let me tell you something, there are more to sin than just the two sins that we name so many times, and that is the sin of omission and the sin of commission. We know that the sin of omission is not doing what God through his word tells us to do, and the sin of commission is going deliberately against what God's law and word teaches us, and we overtly go against that, and therefore that is the sin of commission. But there's also the sin of disposition, our attitude, how we look at situations, how we handle situations. And if you go back to the story of the prodigal son, you see this kind of attitude in the older brother, where he said, this is your son, he's not my brother, this is your son, he's come home, he's wasted your money on harlots, he's wasted in this kind of living, and now you have ushered him into the family once again. See, the attitude we have so many times shapes the way we look at things and the way we look at people here. But Jesus says, as we look at this table, he says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. We know we need to recognize that through all the things that Jesus went through and all the things that this table reminds us of, we need to recognize the words of our Lord at that first table was, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is shed for you. Then this table says very emphatically, it says very, very openly, that you are forgiven. Unapologetically, you are forgiven. Thank God that we are forgiven. You know, I can't understand that. It blows my mind to try to comprehend how a God who is holy and righteous could forgive someone like me. But I realize through what Jesus accomplished as he vindicated, paid the penalty of my sin, that's what Jesus did. He became the propitiation for my sins. He paid the sin debt that I owed. And God sees in that we are forgiven through what Jesus accomplished for us. And I thank God for that tonight. But there's a third thing that it says. I hear this table saying that there are better days a coming. Better days a coming. The headlines in the news media today focus on all the catastrophe and all the catastrophic events that takes place. The volcanoes that kills thousands. The earthquakes that kills thousands, leaves so many homeless. The tsunamis and all these other things that are devastating to people. But you know what? The Bible tells us that Jesus says there are some better days are coming. You know, as we look at this, we cannot understand why things happen and how and why they happen. But you know what? It's a place in which people are loved. They are taken away without warning. A world where the Apostle Paul says it has fallen and it's all out of balance. But let me tell you, at that first table, like Jesus said, someday we will sit down and have supper together in the Father's house. And let me tell you something, folks, there are better days coming. We might not can see it, we might not can visualize it, but by the authority of God's Word, they are better days are coming. Let me tell you something, though, there might be some tragic days before that, okay? Because as we look at what Jesus was relating to and what he was talking about those disciples, he's talking about when we come to recognize and understand the fullness of Jesus Christ, when he comes back for his church, there are going to be glorious days ahead of that, amen, or after that. So we can look forward to that. So tonight as we come to before the table, as we come here tonight, what is the table saying to you? What is it saying to you? Is it speaking to you tonight? We see those words on front of it. What does it say? Y'all tell me what it says. Do what? Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Tonight, we need to just remember what he did for us. We need to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. That's why we can recognize that we are deeply loved, that we are forgiven, that there are going to be better days are coming. This do in remembrance of me, because I love you. I care for you. I want the very best for you. And tonight, he is saying to us through this table tonight that he wants to have communion with us. That's what the table is. It's a table of communion. And tonight, if you do not know him, you cannot have communion with him. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So tonight, as we think about this, God has made possible, and he's made it a privilege that we can come to him, a holy and righteous God, not like we are, but the way that he wants to make us as we come before Jesus, and he comes into our hearts and our lives, and he transforms us, as Paul says. We become a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So tonight, he's saying to us, do this in remembrance of me. Remember how much I love you, how much I cared for you. Remember the sacrifice I made for you personally tonight as we think about the table before us. So tonight, have you committed your life to him? Do you know him? Not about him in your head, but do you know him in your heart tonight? If not, I pray that tonight before you leave this place that you will have that unique relationship with him, that your life will be changed and transformed into that creature that he would have you to be and to become for his glory. And tonight, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that before we go into the Lord's Supper. We're going to do it now, because I see that right now is the time. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, the day is the day of salvation. We need to respond to him. Do you know him? Do you know him? As we stand together for a hymn of invitation, the song leader and pianist come. The invitation is for you to know him. Know him.